Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Hi, and welcome to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast, sponsored by Moda Fabrics. We are here with a special editor's edition of the podcast this week, and we're really, really excited. We're going to spend this podcast talking about quilting charities and ways quilters are giving back to their communities. So we'll be sharing some really inspiring stories that our readers have been doing. We're going to talk about one of our own charities, and then we're going to give you a sneak peek at one of our newest issues and talk about some projects. So I am here with our executive editor, Linda Augsburg, and one of our marketing people, Bethany Peterson. Hi, guys.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
So we're going to start off talking about the Million Pillowcase Challenge and a 24-hour sew-a-thon we're doing for charity that we're very excited about. So, Beth, do you want to talk a little bit about what our readers should look for and expect?
Yes, well, we're really excited. This is our third annual 24-hour sew-a-thon. So here in Des Moines, we are hosting an event. It's open to the public, and we are sewing for 24 hours straight. We're going to start at 3 p.m. on September 16th and go to 3 p.m. on the 17th, and that's a Friday to Saturday. And we will really be here all 24 hours. And so we are inviting shops to join us from around the country. So far, we have about 20 other events all around the country, and more are signing up every day, so keep checking on that.
And it doesn't have to be the exact same time that we're doing it, right, Beth?
Oh, yeah. Just join us for a couple hours. If you don't want to go all night, that's totally fine. We have different times and different dates even that shops are doing, but that's all on our website at allpeoplequilt.com/sewathon. So click on that other events and you'll see all the other options that are available so far.
And what if people can't, come to one of the events that's not in their area? What else can they do?
Well, they could sign up to host their own event or just join us in your PJs. And you can watch our website for our social media posts. And we'll be posting with the hashtag APQ Sew-a-thon all during the event. So you can see what we're doing and what the other events are doing around the country, too.
And I know before the event, there's some special things that we're doing to kind of get everybody excited about our 24-hour event.
Yeah, so we planned, I talk a lot about the Splendid Sampler in these, and I'm sure you've heard Pat talk about it on the podcast, and we're releasing a special bonus block that is the cutest thing. I can't wait for you guys to see it. It is a block that has hanging pillowcases, and we're really just trying to promote our event and promote our challenge, but that is being released on thesplendidsampler.com on August 16th.
Great.
So if you are following along with that or you just want the free pattern, make sure you're checking in that day and you'll see us posting some fun photos. And then a week later, on August 24th, we are hosting a blog hop to help promote the event. And a lot of your favorite designers are involved. We'll be doing some blog posts, and I'm sure there'll be some giveaways, too. So look forward to that. But that'll just be a great way to start getting people excited about the event, to raise awareness, and to just build some social media excitement for what we're doing.
Absolutely. And we started, for those who don't know or aren't aware of the Million Pillowcase Challenge, which it would break my heart if you were not aware, but just to give you some background, we started that in 2010, and the original intention and really the foundation of it was that one of the staffers had read a story about kids in foster care who were carrying their belongings in a garbage bag from home to home, and she thought, we can do better than that for these kids. And that's how the Million Pillowcase Challenge started. But the donation part can go on to really any charity in your area, or there are some that gather charity pillowcases and send them off to the troops or send them to children's hospitals. So there's a lot of different places where you can donate those pillowcases, and they really do make a difference. They bring a smile, they bring a warm thought to somebody. Someone knows that someone went to the extra effort to make a pillowcase for them. So we've donated here. We did our event last year. We donated to all kinds of local charities. We suggest that people keep the, pillowcases, don't send them to us. we ask that you donate them in your local area, or you find a good source for donating those. But like you said, it can be anything from sewing them in your kitchen or, you know, your workstation at home to your sewing room to gathering with some friends and just making it a fun night.
But maybe, Beth, share some charities that we have donated to in the past to give an idea.
Yes, we have donated all over Central Iowa, and I feel like we're blanketing Central Iowa with pillowcases at this point. And last year, we sewed 1,482 pillowcases at our event, which we figured was more than one per minute of the 24 hours
crazy.
We were sewing.
That rocks.
Yeah, so that was super exciting. And so we've donated to Blank Children's Hospital, Hope Ministries, and Catholic Charities, and both of these have homeless shelters. And then also serve refugees. So they set up apartments for refugees. Lutheran Services in Iowa, this was a really fun one. We donated there, and they were actually just about to bring beds to kids who didn't have beds. And so they got beds, bedding, and a pillowcase we had made.
Yep.
Children's Cancer Connection helps kids with cancer. Orchard Place, Youth Emergency Shelter and Services, those are both
crisis centers
mm-hmm. for kids. Child Serve, On With Life is a really neat one. That's for people recovering from brain injuries. Ronald McDonald House and Rebuilding Together. And that's just some of them. We've donated to others, too, but those are the big ones that we've donated to.
Right, because you can imagine at the end of our sew-a-thon with, you know, 1,400 pillowcases, you know, we really did have to find, there's only so many heads in Des Moines that need a pillowcase. So we did branch out a little bit and go to some areas, even outside of the city to go to other groups.
Well, the need is great, but sometimes
yes.
these places don't have enough storage
exactly.
for that many pillowcases, so we have to spread them out a little. But if you do need ideas, we have a charity list on our website, allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases, and click on the charities button, and that has a whole bunch of general ideas and some specific ones, and those are all over the place. And so if you don't have a place in your local area, you can mail them there or you can look on there and find some ideas too.
There's also on our website a shop list of quilt shops that collect the pillowcases. So if you are really struggling with where to donate those, a shop may just collect them and donate it to the charity of their choice.
Right. And they already typically have worked out a relationship with someone who handles that for a certain hospital or a certain site. And that's super helpful. Like you said, if you just want to make a few and make a difference, you know, or make a bunch and make a difference, it's a great way to have some of that stress off of your back. So.
And Ryan's Case for Smiles, always looking for pillowcases as well. And that's formerly Conquer Cancer. They're always collecting. So they have a lot of chapters as well. So that's a good
yes.
one. And I do want to mention that overall, nationwide last year, we made 10,763 pillowcases.
So in 24 hours.
In 24 hours.
So
that
was
pretty amazing.
So impressive. But we need your help to beat that number, and we'd love to blow that out of the water this year.
Oh, absolutely. That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, I mean, I know we had people on social media chiming in with us, you know, hey, I just sat down. It's Friday night. I've got my glass of wine. I've got my pillowcases, and I'm going to do some sewing tonight with you. And that was so fun because it felt like, you know, they could be part of the fun, and they were interacting with other people on social who were posting as well. And so, you know, you don't have to go big. You can just, you know, in this case, go home, which is kind of funny. But, you know, you can do it at your leisure. It doesn't have to be through that 24 hours, but it's fun to join in the social event of that, too.
Yeah, and we try to make it so fun. I mean, we have we are doing tons of Instagram posts, Facebook posts. I know, like, some of our sponsors were doing giveaways during that time.
And we will also
have a giveaway,
too. We'll have a sweepstakes. So we have more than $400 in prizes to give away for that, too. So
That
will be fun.
Wonderful. Is there anything else that we, you know, you think we haven't told our listeners?
Well, I'll just say the dates again. So it's Friday, September 16th at 3 p.m. To Saturday, September 17th at 3 p.m. But check, you know, with your local stores. They may be starting earlier or starting later. Those are the times that our Des Moines event is
right.
going.
And of course, our Des Moines event is Central Time. Not that it really matters. You can chime in anytime.
Yes.
The other fun thing, I mean, the stories that we always have from it every year, you know, we had one gal who, it was her birthday, and she came in before going to work I think she started work at 7 a.m.
Yeah,
and wanted to
early.
Sew with us. So she came in at like 4 or 5 in the morning and just sewed with us for a couple hours because she wanted to make a difference. And we had, you know, a group of 4-H kids that came in because one of their members had battled cancer and had just had a bone marrow transplant and just come out of the hospital. And she was a sewer and she got pillowcases when she was in the hospital. And so those stories, you know, the people that come and interact with us and sew with us and play with us at the Million Pillowcase Sew-a-thon, really tells the story of why these pillowcases make a difference in each person's life. So I love that part of it.
It does. So if you guys are interested in joining along, you want more information on shops, on events that are hosting, you just want to follow along on social media, you can just go to our website at allpeoplequilt.com/sewathon. You can also follow the Million Pillowcase Challenge page on Facebook. We have lots of updates there, too. We would love for you guys to join along with us at our event. Remember our blog hop. We want to beat that 10,000 number. I know we can do it this year. It's a lot of sewing for 24 hours, but so many people have helped us, and we're ready for that number to be huge.
Yes.
Well, we'll be right back after the commercial break. We're going to share more heartwarming stories from quilters and charities.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make 1, 2, or many more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases. Quilt along with us in 2016. Join our third annual quilt along by making a quilt, a one-block pillow, or all 4 projects featuring plus sign designs. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/quiltalong for a list of participating bloggers and designers and to see photos of what staff members and other readers are sewing. Share your photos on social media using the hashtag APQQuiltAlong to join the fun.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Hi, and welcome back to the American Patchwork and Quilting podcast sponsored by Moda Fabrics. We are back sharing with how quilters are changing their communities, and we have just some heartwarming stories we just want to share. I know a lot of you, if you were readers of American Patchwork and Quilting, probably remember our Quilting Changes Everything section of our magazine. It's very popular, where we would share great stories of quilters making a difference in their communities. And we now have that on our website. So we're starting to just post a few times a week really great stories that we are getting submitted to us, that we find online. And so you can visit our homepage at our allpeoplequilt.com, and right on the homepage you'll just see an updated list of all of our newest stories. We also send them out in our newsletters if you're getting those. They're just really, they pull at your heartstrings. They make you feel positive and great about, you know, other quilters.
They're happy stories. I love starting my day with one happy, like, what a great difference this person is making in the world. What can I do today to make a difference?
Yeah, it's so inspiring. So mm-hmm. We're going to read just a few of our favorite stories that we've shared on our website, and we hope you really enjoy these. So the first one is called Chloe Cares is Helping the Homeless. So Chloe Thompson, at the age of 8, is using her talents to help those less fortunate in her community by sewing bags for homeless people. She calls them care bags, and these bags are made and designed by Chloe and her grandma, and they're filled with items women need on a daily basis. Instead of giving these items in a large plastic bag, Chloe thought every woman should have a nice, sturdy bag to put their stuff in. Chloe says, I wanted to give them a special bag because I thought they would need a bag they could keep forever. With the help of donations from her friends, family, and classmates, she filled each bag with toiletries like toothbrushes, toothpaste, washcloth, soap, and lotion. And she isn't stopping there. She is hosting a toy drive this summer, and she has plans for a community potluck. And this is really great. She was recently on the talk show The Real, where they gave her a brand new Janome sewing machine so she could continue making her bags. And if you've seen that story on your website, there's a really cute video that goes along. She's just such a cute little 8-year-old. She's so positive. She loves going out to talk with the homeless in her community and give them the bags, and the video is really great to see.
Yeah, it is really an inspiring, like, what a huge heart this little girl has for compassion. I was struck at how compassionate she was at such a young age.
Yes.
Meanwhile, for the opposite end of the spectrum, we have a 106-year-old woman who has a thriving quilting business. Now, I don't know that she's doing it for charity. I think she's doing it for money. But at 106, I'm not judging. Myrtle Farrell from Mapleton, North Dakota, is 106 years old and has made over 300 quilts in the last 3 years. That's pretty prolific.
Yep.
She grew up on a small farm in Cass County where she lived her whole life. She learned the importance of a good work ethic from her parents and married her husband during the Depression. Over the years, she babysat children for most of the town, and for decades, she's been known as the quilt maker. She is still quilting today as a business of making baby quilts. Myrtle may be the oldest businesswoman in North Dakota, sewing beautiful quilts and selling them still. She recently moved in with neighbors rather than moving to a nursing home, and there she has created quilts by the hundreds. Her former neighbor and now roommate, Jean Madsen, says that she credits Myrtle's upbringing with her passion for quilting, even at her older age. I think it's her lifestyle. She grew up on a small farm. Her parents rented and worked hard for a living. It's important for her to be productive, she said. So it is really important. I think that's one of the, you know, productivity, making something, creating something that somebody's going to enjoy really makes a difference to quilters.
And you guys should find this story on our website because, first of all, the picture of her sewing, she's sitting on a step stool. That's her sewing chair. And there's a video, and the newscaster at one point asks if he's joking with her, asks if he could have one of the quilts. And she said, well, I'll charge you for it. So she's still feisty. She's
yeah, absolutely. May I still be quilting at 106. That's all I'm asking for in life.
Okay, the next story is a story about first graders who sewed a class quilt. First graders at Roosevelt Elementary in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, learned something special this year, the art of quilting. It all started 8 years ago when Becky Mallow, a teaching assistant at the school, was trying to cut down on noise in the lunchroom. She had the idea to hang quilts around the room to absorb the noise. Mallow, who is an avid quilter, makes a quilt with the first grade class every year. She brings her sewing machine to school and lets the children make the quilts themselves. Each child chooses their own colors and sews their own blocks with Mallow's assistance on the sewing machine. Every year, the quilt has a different theme. This year, the class was learning shapes, so the quilt was math-themed and was titled Rectangles, Squares, and Circles All Around. The children worked on their blocks throughout the year, including it during their inside recess time when it was too cold to play outside in the winter. When the blocks were done, Mallow sent the quilt off to be finished before it would be hung with the others. During the past 8 years of sewing with students, Mallow discovered that the special education classes responded especially well to quilt making. She said the kids were able to tune out the commotion of the classroom and just focus on making their blocks. She said the sound of the sewing machine calms them. Grace, who was one of the first graders, picked purple fabric for her block, said choosing the color was her favorite part. Wilfred, another first grader, said, my favorite part, that it was my first time sewing.
That's great. Start them young, right?
That's right.
Now we have a really just touching story about how it happens with quilts that don't always get finished. It's a great story of UFO spotting. We'll call it that. So family quilt finished 80 years later. Patricia Bolin is an 81-year-old. When her mother, Alex Huxtable, was pregnant with her in 1934, she started making a Girls on Swing quilt, which is like a looks a little bit like a sunbonnet Sue, but in a more delicate dress, and she's on a swing. Mm-hmm. After finishing all the blocks but never finishing the quilt, Bolin, who inherited the blocks after her mother's passing, has been carrying them with her ever since. The blocks came with her through several moves as she and her husband relocated for his job. When they finally settled in Salinas, California, Mullen decided to do something with those blocks. She approached Active Seniors, Inc., a group of quilters who work on projects, group projects, I should say, that are often requested from the community. The quilters promised to finish the quilt Bolin's mother had started over 80 years ago. The quilt took an entire year to finish. The group decided to stay true to the original quilting style of the time and hand-stitched, hand-quilted that quilt. Bolin provided 72 of her mother's hand-appliqué and hand-embroidered blocks that depicted a girl wearing a dress and sunbonnet swinging on a wooden swing. The ladies at Active Seniors, Inc. created the design that showcased the blocks and echoed the swinging girls in their hand-quilting details. A year later, they presented it to Bolin, who plans to pass it down to her daughter. What a great story of a community coming together to help somebody
who wanted that keepsake.
Yeah.
Another story we have is called Project DJ completes their 10,000th quilt. I can't even say that. It's such a huge 10, number.
10,000 quilts.
Yeah. So twice a week, 40 women from Trucksville, Pennsylvania get together to sew quilts. The women are part of a group called Project Donate Joy or Project DJ. These women get together to sew quilts for sick children in area hospitals, and in early June, they gather to celebrate finishing their 10,000th donated quilt. The nonprofit group began in 2003 after members were inspired by a quilt given to a 15-year-old child who was battling brain cancer. The young man, who was a grandson of a friend, took this quilt to cancer treatments as a source of comfort. A few women in the community wanted to make more quilts for children in area hospitals, and they began meeting in the basement. And each quilt they make measures approximately 40 by 60 inches. Once the group started to grow, so did the number of quilts they finished. In 2007, they had made 577 quilts. The next year, they had finished 1,000. And then they made it to 10,000 pretty quickly after that. Quilts are donated a few times a year to various children's hospitals and other charity organizations. They just get donations from the community. They say it may be a lot of work, and it's worth it when they receive notes of gratitude. One recipient said, "Thank you so much for the beautiful quilt you made for our little boy. He has Down syndrome and recently had heart surgery. We were so touched and blessed to receive such a lovely gift."
That's so wonderful. Again, it's that little effort that everyone can make to make somebody else's
or
life a little
really
easier.
Or a really big effort.
Or a really big effort, yeah. In that case, 10,000 quilts, that's a really big effort. One other quick story, and it's from our Million Pillowcase Challenge. And some people ask us about different sizes of pillowcases. While we typically give instructions for the regular standard size pillowcase, there are some groups that are looking for other sizes. And one size is a travel pillowcase, which we've just in this year added up to our website so that people can make those travel size pillowcases for groups that need them. So the story about the travel pillowcase and why we added it was while Vicky Mollett's son Benjamin was in the hospital fighting cancer, she made pillowcases for him and for his friends. Benjamin lost his battle with cancer, but his spirit lives on through Benjamin Smiles, a foundation dedicated to donating pillowcases to sick children. Since 1998, Benjamin Smiles has donated more than 350,000 pillowcases worldwide. Anyone who needs a smile needs a pillowcase, Vicky says. And that, again, really, you know, kind of comes back to why we sew, why we do what we do, to really make a difference.
It's always nice to remember. I know sometimes we can get caught up in, you know, picking the pattern and playing with the fabric, but
yep.
It's giving.
And being perfect and making those points perfect and making right. Everything. But the joy of the recipient, even if the recipient's you, the joy that you get from that piece is just as important.
Yeah. So we would love if you would share stories of quilters making a difference, whether they're your own, whether they are, you know, groups in your community that are doing something great.
Sure, or you see something on the news, or you see
something
on Facebook.
On the news. We would love if you would reach out to us. The easiest way is through Facebook. So if you look for the American Patchwork and Quilting Facebook page, you can just, you know, shoot us a message with the story if you have pictures, and we would love to feature them. We would love to spread the joy and the amazing things our quilters are doing.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for everything that you do to help your communities and make a difference.
Yes, thank you. We'll be back right after the break.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me for a fun video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Luck. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project with me. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for the price of one. That's a full year free. Every issue is packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, detailed photography, complete materials lists, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today at allpeoplequilt.com.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast, sponsored by Moda Fabrics. I am here with our editor, Linda Augsburg, and we're going to chat a little bit about the newest issue of American Patchwork and Quilting. It's our October issue, and it's been on newsstands for about 2 weeks now.
And we took a little departure on this cover, and so we're hoping to get some great feedback from everybody to hear how you liked it, because it's something that we really haven't done. And that's, we featured a person on the cover, which we won't do every time, but it is fun to see some of the quilters behind the quilts that are in the issue and some of the quilters that are behind the projects and the stories that are there. So go ahead.
No, you announce it.
At this case, it's our cover girl, as we have started calling her, is Lisa Bonjean of Primitive Gatherings. And Primitive Gatherings is a company that focuses a lot on hand-dyed wools and things like that. And so we've got a profile in there about her hand-dyed wools and the process of that and kind of how Lisa got her start in designing and really found her passion. And also, the cover shows this wonderful cabinet that she had built that resembles barnwood but is very protected. So the antique quilts that she has stacked inside are really well cared for. And she does have an amazing stash of antique quilt tops and antique quilts that she's amassed.
And when you look at the cover picture, there's another one inside the issue too. Those are only some of the antique quilts.
Yes.
And there's stacks and stacks. I mean, they're taller than she is. It's truly amazing.
It's amazing. And so the issue kind of theme for this issue was that antique, that call back to the heritage. It's got full of fresh, fun quilts, don't get me wrong, but we did do some fun things in there about giving the history of some of the blocks that are involved in the quilts, and also for some of the caring, as we jokingly called it, care and feeding of your quilt tops and your quilted projects, your antique quilts, your vintage blocks, that kind of thing. What to do? Because I think there's a lot of people out there who collect antique quilts, pick them up, even, you know, whether it's at an antique dealer or whether it's like at an estate sale. And there's a lot of questions out there. What do I do about it? Do I wash it? Do I not? What's the quality? Is it, what's
it
worth?
Or even if they get it handed down to them, mm-hmm. how they can really preserve that for...
Yes, and I have this story of my grandmother's quilt that was handed down, and just, you know, we didn't know better. We used it, which, I mean, that's what she made it for, was to be used. But now I wish we'd have taken a little better care.
I had like a similar one where I got my great great grandmother's quilt, and somewhere along the line, somebody had sewed a sheet to the back, like a bed mm-hmm. sheet, and I mean, it's just. I've been trying to slowly mend it, but I mean, I wish it would have been
better cared for.
Better cared yep. for, yep.
And when my grandmother passed, we went through her things. We found a quilt in her Hope Chest, but But it was in ill repair. It was no longer able to be repaired, I should say. So what we did, and some people would say it's, you know, a terrible thing to do to a quilt, but there was enough damage to this quilt that it wasn't salvageable as it was. So we cut it up into Christmas ornaments, cut the blocks out individually, and made my mom and my aunt took hours of time to make Christmas ornaments for everyone in the family with a tag that said where this quilt was from. And everybody in the first generation and the second generation, and then they made some smaller ornaments for the third generation. So those kids also had a memory of their grandmother, which was a really special. So all is not lost. If your quilt is a little more tattered, there's some solutions.
Right. And I think that just reminded me of the great article, our antique quilt care article we have. We're featuring a few experts giving their opinions, but one of the topics they talk about is what to do if the quilt just isn't salvageable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little bit about our experts for the issue?
Well, we reached out to two really some great experts in historical quilts, Bettina Havig and Darlene Zimmerman. And, you know, everybody has their own opinion on this. So there are some places where they differ in opinion, and there are some places where they're pretty well aligned. But I think, you know, each of them speaks from their own experience in this. So, you know, the laundering and some of the things that they have for care tips might be a little different than what you've seen other places. You know, everybody's got their own opinion on what's the best way to do something. And so it's just it's a learning process. And I think you need to find the one that resonates with you. But they really had some great questions or some great answers to our questions, like should or can I wash my antique quilt?
Which I'm sure is the big one. A lot of people wonder.
It really is. I think that's a big, you know, because there's a stain here or there's a this, and what do I do about it?
And if you're looking for suggestions, we actually featured three different soaks or washes that we think specifically are great for antique quilts. If you decide to go that direction, the issue,
yes,
issue has specific, and so in the know.
And so in the know, right.
Some great products you might want to try.
Right. Also, we talked about what should I look for when buying an antique quilt. You know, again, that's that everyone's looking. I look for something that resonates with me, that for some reason just, you know, I hate to even say calls my name, but that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, oh, you know, or it's just, like it's someplace that it doesn't belong.
Because you're not a serious collector.
I'm not a serious collector, right.
You're just looking for something that you find pretty.
Right. I want something, well, or something that I'm never going to tackle. And I think they talked a lot about that. I ended up with, at an estate sale, a box that had like sheets and blankets and a hand-pieced grandmother flower garden.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I'm never going to tackle a grandmother's flower garden. I shouldn't say never. I'm probably never going to tackle. And it was in the traditional 30s colors. And
wow.
So, you know, to me, it still has to be quilted at the top because, again, somebody got to that point installed and said, what do I do about the borders? What do I do about the binding? How do I finish this thing? But so it's a quilt top, or as some people like to refer to them, summer spread. That lightweight coveret that you put on the bed.
Yep.
But, you know, that's sometimes it's a rarity thing. So a design you've not seen before or something that, you know, I love log cabins and I found this one.
Right.
Other times it's just, you know, if you're really a serious collector, you may be trying to round out a collection. You know, you've probably got a little more experience or knowledge. But if you're just starting out, pick things that resonate in your heart.
Yeah. Yep.
So some other things we talked about is how do I tell how old a quilt is? And, of course, there are some books out there that will help you with that. Clues in the Calico by Barbara Brackman is one. And Barbara was also integral in some of the stuff in this issue we'll talk about a little later. And then also, you know, there is the philosophy that a quilt is only as old as the newest fabric that's in there. So, you know, just like our quilters saved scraps, I think that, you know, they saved scraps back in the day, too, so it might be that there are some fabrics in there from 1830, but there's also some in there from 1930. Mm-hmm. So technically it's from the 30s,
yeah, I 19. I have an antique quilt that I had someone dig into on how old it was, and it's a red, white, and blue hand-stitched curved piecing quilt, mm-hmm. and they figured out that the specific color of blue that was used was from the 70s. So the other fabric was older, but for some reason, the certain color did not appear until the 70s.
Oh, interesting. So, well, and it's, you know, we know that there are experts who know that the dye information and the, you know, the way to date fabric that way. And so there are some experts. If you really want to get dig into deeper of the of the dating of fabric. There are some great organizations out there that can help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I do about fixing my quilt? Should I use them or should I store them? And, you know, in some ways, like if I'm just going to collect them to store them, I don't know why I'm collecting them.
Unless you have Lisa Bonjean's.
Yeah, unless you're Lisa Bonjean. Exactly. And, you know, how do you display them safely so you don't damage them further? And then, of course, what to do with those orphan antique blocks. So, you know, maybe you've got a great block. I once had a collection of antique blocks that was the same color scheme. And I was just going to, you know, very carefully in an archival way, you know, mount them and frame them.
Yeah.
To save them and display them in that regard rather than put them into another quilt. So
I do love your ornament idea.
Yeah, I just, you know, that really, you know, I'm certainly not going to take an antique block and turn it into a potholder. But but in the case of that, it had family memory for us.
Yep.
So it made a difference.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Brackman's.
So Barbara Brackman, who is an expert on the quilt block history, actually was involved in the issue. She was so kind to be able to give us information about many of the blocks and the history of the blocks that are used in the quilts in the issue.
So each quilt, Barbara dug into the exact block, if there it was one or if it was a variation or based off one.
Right.
And she, I'm sure, her knowledge is amazing.
It is. It is really. And, you know, she's got some programs. She's actually got a program out there that can help you identify blocks as well. And then, and a book. So
we featured those and Sew in the Know, too. So if you're looking for that exact information, but the book is out of print. But you can still get it as a digital download version, or there's a software program you can buy.
Yeah, so those are some great ways to, if you really want to have that experience. But meanwhile, she really did dig into those blocks and give us there's our block, and then we showed the traditional version. And while they weren't all identical, it was fun to read some of the interesting things, like, you know, this became more popular when, you know, they had better tools to work with or that kind of thing. So just really interesting what the blocks represented at the time and the story that was told with that block. You know, things from being named after a president or, you know, various things or, you know, many different – some blocks had different histories and we were able to share that information. So just some fun nuggets of information in addition to the great projects.
And I think that's one of the themes I'm loving about this issue is it really – I mean – quilts are pretty. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking into, like we said, our cover girl, like just looking into the person behind the quilt, looking into the history behind the block, I think just gives your project so much more meaning.
Right. You can talk intelligently about, you know, what is that block? And when somebody asks you, you know, oh, it's, you know, it's a nine patch. Well, it's got triangles in it. It's, you know, but to be able to say, well, let me tell you about this block. It's just, I feel like it gives us a connection to history, even if the quilt is not made in a historical fabric or to be historical at all. You know, some of them are very modern quilts that still have that link to tradition.
Yes, which we love. So we are going to be back after the break and we'll tell you some more about our October issue.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Join American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, giveaways, and more. Find us at facebook.com/APQ Magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Hi, and welcome back to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast, sponsored by Moda Fabrics. We're here with our last little bit of editor segments. We're talking about the American Patchwork and Quilting October issue, which is on newsstands now.
And we have some fun quilts in this issue. Like I said, we were talking about the antique element. We have two antique quilts that are actually, we were able to provide instructions for. Three, if you count the one that's on the cover, because we did actually reach out to Lisa Bonjean and get instructions and share those instructions with you for the pink quilt that's on the cover that she's holding. Because it kind of hit us. We're like, people are going to want that. That's a great quilt.
It is
so,
a great quilt.
What a fun addition. So we really do feature some of those traditional quilts, but in a much more updated complicated, of course, way to make them than the original quilters did. We do not ask you to use templates for triangle squares, we promise. So rotary cutting has certainly made quilting come a long way. We also have some great fall projects in the issue.
Yeah, and the timing works out great because you're probably just starting to think about your fall decor or your Halloween projects now so you can get them finished in time for fall. So we have quite a few. I know Lisa Bonjean's has this really amazing wool wall hanging that is like a penny quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Just stacked appliques. It's so warm and inviting. So if you are a wool lover, you will want to just be making this quilt when the weather gets colder.
And it's on a wonderful flannel background. I just love it. Another one that's in there that is that same feel of fall, I guess I'll say, is called Just Toasty. And it's that Dove at the window block, and it's in reproduction fabric. So it's got an antique feel to it in those browns and russets and rust colors and burgundies. It's just a gorgeous, wonderful quilt.
And it's by Betsy Chutchin, and if you know her at all, you know her style. Mm-hmm. It looks just like her.
Yes, it absolutely does.
And yeah, the picture we have is a couple cuddled under it, and they're roasting marshmallows by a fire, which is just where I want to be. It's so hot here today.
We want to be in fall when it's cool.
Yes, that's right. Another one, we have a set of table runners by Katie Henniger, and she used some great Andover fabric. She made two runners for us. One is a fall theme one. It has pumpkins and oranges, or in orange colors. And then she made a Halloween version, which is in white and green and black. And
love it.
I love them, too. I want to make both. I might make it reversible
We talked about that. I think that's such a great idea. So another quilt that's in there that's got a nice fall feel is called Kettle Corn. And it's from Lisa Alexander. And she did some very interesting things with those fabrics. She actually did some dyeing, some bleaching, and some over-dyeing. So she used fabric-safe bleach, so it's not going to destroy the fabric or distress it in any way. But between the bleach and the dyeing. So we actually did a whole kind of a story, an explore with the experts on this one, showing the examples of what the original fabric looked like and then what happened when it was bleached, what happened when it was over-dyed with a tan color-safe dye, and then what happened when we did both bleaching and over-dyeing. And, you know, you can't always tell. So it's a fun experiment project. I don't think you want to go into it thinking, I'm going to get this color out of it. I really think it's one of those projects that people should just take some stash fabric, whether it's maybe fabric you're no longer attached to, stuff that, you know, you bought for a project and you've got it left over, things like that, and just see what happens. It's a great way to play, especially in these open window ability days that we have at this time of year, when you're not closed in, to be able to play with those fabrics and those bleaching and dyeing techniques, where you can have the windows open or be outside.
Yes.
So.
So when you see the Kettle Corn quilt, Lisa's quilt, it gives just the technique she used, the dyeing technique she used, give it such. Like a rustic,
like a softness.
Yeah, it looks almost faded, antique. Like it looks antique.
It looks aged,
yeah. And she used just creams and oranges and purples. And the way the fabric turned out after her process looks so great. And I love just the pages we have of where you're showing the original fabrics and what happens with each step because they look so different. They look like completely different fabrics. I love the different looks you can get.
Yeah, you really don't, like I said, you really don't know until you try it what colors are going to fade out, what colors are going to stay true. So it's always a great mystery. It's a big surprise at the end, and I just love that.
And it might just be a really great technique to try in those fabrics you're not in love with anymore.
Yep.
And maybe you will end up loving them when they take on this new look.
Yeah, exactly.
Or nothing lost if you hate them still.
Also true. Some other projects that are in the issue, we've got some really great modern projects, of course, in addition to the more traditional. We've got a great modern spools from
AFG Studios.
Thank you.
Studios.
I was going to say, I thought it was, I always mess up the letters, but using art gallery fabric. And it's just a beautiful, bright, vibrant quilt. It's a spool block in a traditional way, but There is not much traditional about that block.
No,
that
and
quilt.
It looks so updated. I mean, when I saw the quilt, I, after seeing the instructions in the block, I was like, I never would have guessed that that block made a quilt that looks like this.
Exactly.
It's so fun to see it.
Super fresh. And then we've got one that's a little more intricate called Dragon Fruit Delight, actually. And it was inspired after dragon fruit, which is a fruit that, you know, we don't get that much in the Midwest. But she sent a picture, so we know what it looks like. But it's pointy and spiky and just a lot of fun and a nice scrappy-ish, not too scrappy, but some variegated fabrics, two color families, so it's not too crazy.
And just great, really fresh, like a coral and a lime green.
Yes.
Which is... It's perfect for dragon fruit.
Yes, it is. And then there's one of my personal, I think I have to make it, favorites, called Dancing Dresses. And it's a fabric folding technique, which is something different for us. We saw the quilt actually at QuiltCon. One of the fabric companies had it there. Lori Kruger is the designer on that. And it's almost like fabric origami. And you fold a rectangle of fabric this way and that and stitch it down. And it's not really applique. You're just top stitching. And boom, you've got this adorable little dress. And I just think it's a fun, if you've got girls who really like playing dress up, it's a great quilt for that. I'm going to make it for my sewing room because, you know, my background was to sew clothing. So when I first started sewing as a kid, I might even make it. I've got the scraps of fabric from when I made my clothes for 4-H, and I might make it out of those because it would be a really great memory piece for me. And I heard somebody say, we took these quilts to a special event we had where I spoke at Cricut Comforts, which was one of the groups that sews pillowcases for charity in their area in Gorham, Maine. And they were wonderful. And they got they had sewed with us for the March Pillowcase Madness, and they are prolific in their pillowcase making and donating. And, you know, it all comes, again, it comes from a source. You know, Heidi, who really kicked off the group, you know, her son had some health issues, and so she knew what a difference it makes. And that's a lot of times where these groups spring up from. And so they're a group, they meet on a regular basis and make pillowcases and donate them in their area. But I was there speaking about and took these quilts with us. They got a sneak peek of October. And, one of the ladies said, wouldn't that be great? Her daughter was in theater.
Oh.
She said, wouldn't that have been great to use the costume fabric in the various shows she'd been in? And then a new grandma had said, oh, or wouldn't it be great to make out of like baby clothes, like once they've outgrown them and turn it into that and just hold onto the blocks till you've got kind of that first, you know, is it the first year or the first 5 years or whatever, but those pieces that make a difference and make a memory. So some fun, different approaches to that quilt.
I love that idea. I never would have thought to do that with this quilt. But the dresses are so, I mean, I like wearing vintage clothes.
Yes.
And these dresses have that.
That kind of absolute look.
Mm-hmm. That vibe. And I'm trying to figure out a way I can fold a bunch and use them as like gift card holders. I just need to add
absolutely.
Like a backing fabric.
Yep.
Be great.
Yep.
For
shrink them down and make a pocket.
The girls for Christmas.
Oh, that'd be perfect. And then, of course, the things that we didn't quite mention yet. The mystery row quilt is wrapping up soon. So this is row 5. It's almost done. So we are super excited to share this applique row, which is the second applique row we've done, but a fun butterflies and berries kind of row. It's just happy and perfect for this time of year.
Yeah, and that's Pat Sloan's Mystery Row Quilt. So
yes.
If you've not been following along, you should. We have the first couple rows on our website for free now. So you can start it. You can pick up the latest issues to get the later rows. And she also had two more projects in this issue. She was like a rock star, but one of her vintage quilts is featured. It's a basket quilt. And Pat's not a vintage quilt collector. She said she just saw this one and something about it, she had to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she made a pillow project based off of this using an updated basket block, which is a little easier to make. And
piece, yep.
If you're doing the Splendid Sampler, the blocks are 6 inches. So you can, if you're not a basket person, you can still use the pillow pattern. And
perfect.
We might need to use our pillowcase block and make a pillowcase pillow.
That would be perfect. That would be fun.
So she has a pillow pattern too, and that's offered free on our website. We gave it away.
Perfect. And then, of course, like I said, that mystery row quilt. I know a lot of people don't always dive into a mystery row quilt on the first round or the second round, so it's great that we're able to provide those to you if you want to pick it up now. And now you've got a pretty good idea what the quilt's going to look like.
It's so amazing. If you are on Instagram, you should look up the hashtag APQ Row Quilt, and people are posting their photos there. And they are looking so good, and they all look so different from each other. Like, the fabric choices are so great. And they, I mean, we were using batiks for ours, mm-hmm. but
I've got solids at home. I haven't dived in yet.
That's
fun. Only because it's been a little crazy. But I have all the fabrics of a beautiful solids line, and I'm so excited to start. It's going to be very beachy themed.
Ooh, I like it.
Because I had the privilege of the preview. I knew kind of what was coming. Mm-hmm. So.
Awesome. So this issue is on newsstands now. We would love if you would pick up an issue. There's such great antique quilts. There's great, you know, all of Pat's projects. There's just great fall projects. And you need to own our first cover girl quilt.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be collectible someday. Pat will be back next week on our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to share your Quilting Changes Everything stories with us on Facebook.
And join us for the Pillowcase Sew-a-thon.
Yes.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Thanks for listening. Keep in touch. American Patchwork and Quilting is on Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram at All People Quilt. Email us at apqpodcast@meredith.com. Resources for this week can be found at allpeoplequilt.com/podcast. And if you love the American Patchwork and Quilting podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcast app for free. And don't forget to rate and review the show. It helps other quilters find us. Have a creative week.